Your Grace, Eminences, His Excellencies, my Lords, dear friends in Christ. It is a great honor to be a guest at this dinner hosted by the Nicaean Club, whose hospitality is a mark of the courtesy and generosity of the Church of England towards its ecumenical guests. This dinner comes as a climax to my visit to the Church of England. During these few days, I am grateful first of all for the opportunity to express to the Archbishop of Canterbury my gratitude for his inspirational ministry, his warm friendship, and his unwavering commitment to the search for unity. So, your many and welcome visits to Rome, Your Grace, you have come to know you well, and to appreciate your profound learning and your spiritual wisdom, and we will indeed miss you. There will, however, be one final opportunity to welcome you as Archbishop of Canterbury to Rome, when you will attend the Synod of Bishops in the New Evangelization in October, to lead the delegates in reflection. We keenly anticipate that event and look forward to your contribution, which, as ever, will be the fruit of your scholarship and prayerfulness. I'm also glad in these few days to have had the opportunity to deepen my knowledge of the Church of England and the Anglican Communion through experiencing something of the rich of this worship, the diversity of its spiritual life, and the vitality of its pastoral activity. I must confess that before my visit, I had known the Church of England only through books and small experiences in the ecumenical situation in Switzerland. And even now, I am not sure I understand it all. But I'm assured by Anglican friends that this is something that many of you share with me. However, I'm grateful to have been able not only to participate in the magnificent and moving worship at Canterbury Cathedral and Westminster Abbey, also to meet with the inspirational figures behind the Alpha Course, which is proving so faithful in both our communion, as well as meeting with clergy at St. Michael's Canton and visiting the impressive outreach to homeless and vulnerable people at St. Martin in the Fields. Through meeting with many members of the Church of England and the worldwide communion, I have been able to understand something of the great spiritual, biblical and social heritage of Anglicanism, which makes it such a powerful witness in the world today. There are many who say that relations between the Anglican Communion and the Roman Catholic Church are in a state of crisis, or that our ecumenical discussions are doomed to fail. There is no doubt that recent developments create considerable problems for us and for our dialogue. My predecessor, Walter Cardinal Kasper, made clear to you his concerns on this issue. I am well aware of the importance of the decision that will be taken at General Synod in July and of the consequences not only for our relations, but for your own internal situation. We will have to consider the impact of these events carefully. As ever, I am struck by the honesty and openness with which you face these issues, and I am sure that I will be accompanying your deliberations and the consequences is my prayers and deep concern for you. But there is also another story to tell about our relationships. 2 years ago, at Lambeth Palace, Pope Benedict said that he did not wish to dwell upon difficulties which were well known to everyone here, but rather to give thanks for the deep friendship that has grown during 40 years and the remarkable progress that has been made in so many areas of dialogue. Our relationship has a special character that is able to endure crises and difficulties because we share so much in common. Even at the most difficult times, we have recognized in each other a likeness that will not allow us to give up on each other. Indeed, the history of our dialogue, stretching back beyond Achits, beyond the Malins conversation, even as far as the exchange between Bishop Lancelot Andrews and Cardinal Robert Bellarmine in the early 17th century, shows a concern to explore with each other our different ways of interpreting our human heritage. We have had strong differences of opinion, but we have never refused to recognize the presence of God working through this church, his church in each other. It is this ability to see in each other a family likeness which leaves behind the famous declaration of Council Vatican II that among the churches and ecclesial communion of the West, in which Catholic traditions and institutions in part continue to exist, the Anglican communion occupies a special place. This is one of the reasons why we continue to dialogue, and indeed we cannot endure not to dialogue. As the third phase of Achich, now underway, shows, we still have much to talk about in terms about that we share, using language, sources and resources that are common to both our communions. It is not just what we talk about that shows our special relationship, but the way we talk about it. Pope Benedict, during his unfortunate visit to Great Britain, gave particular emphasis to something else we have in common. He spoke of the possibility of exploring together ways of bearing witness to the transcendent dimension of the human person and the universal call to holiness, leading to the practice of virtue in our personal and social lives. I am aware of an important rule of the Church of England in proclaiming Christ as a point of reference for British life, from your presence in national institutions and the great national events, to the work carried on in countless parishes and ordinary communities by dedicated clergy and faithful, in lives dedicated to generosity and self-giving gospel witness, the Church of England testifies to the reality of Christian values which can transform our world. Pope Benedict has stressed the essential place of personal holiness in effectively proclaiming the Christian message. For so many, he laments, God has become too great unknown. A new evangelization will not be achieved, he says, simply by new methods of announcing the gospel or by pastoral activity, but in the first place through personal conversion. The Holy Father's teaching is paralleled in the great Anglican tradition of the quest for personal holiness, in which the faithful Christian reflects or radiates the values of Christ. George Herbert, whose own life was a conspicuous example of saintliness, famously compared the priest to a stained glass window, by itself dim and fragmented, but which becomes resplendent when daylight shines through it. In the same way, our task is to be transfigured washed in the light and color of the bright, shining Word of God, so that we might transform others. As Anglicans and Roman Catholics, we have much to offer each other, and even more to offer our Word from our rich spiritual tradition, a tradition which resides not in library shelves, but is luminous in the lives of so many faithful men and women of today and past ages. The witness of our saints, living and dead, shows that holiness of life is not a flight from the Word, but an openness to its deepest reality, an attentiveness to the hand of God at work in human lives. This is a treasure we share, and I pray that Anglicans and Catholics can work together ever more closely, showing through the transformed lives the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to transform our world. If we wish to speak about God to our society, we need to speak with God. I thank you again for hosting me at this dinner and for the kindness you have shown me. I assure that the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity will continue to support the work of Archbishop and Jakom, to consolidate what we have achieved and to open ourselves to the spirit of unity. I assure you of my prayers for the Church of England and the worldwide Anglican Communion, that I may continue to proclaim Christ with courage, imagination and faithfulness. I conclude by making my own the words spoken by Pope Benedict at Lambeth. We know that the friendship we have forged, the dialogue which we have begun, and the hope which guide us will provide strength and direction as we persevere on our human journey. I cannot finish also as His Grace without making some reference to the news of the retirement of Canon David Richardson. Over the last 5 years, the Pontifical Council for Promotion Christian Unity has worked closely with Canon Richardson in supporting and strengthening relation between the Roman Catholic Church and the worldwide Anglican Communion. His insight, imagination and generosity have been deeply appreciated, helping us to affirm our relationship at an important time for our communions. I thank David sincerely for his friendship and collaboration, and I wish him and Margie every blessing in the next stage of their lives. It is now my pleasant duty to ask all the guests to rise to toast the Nikian Club. Thank you. The Nikian Club.